That was the perfect song for the message today. Says it so well. Samuel Chadwick said, "The presence of the Holy Spirit endures with divine authority and power. The Holy Spirit does not come upon methods, but upon men. He does not anoint machinery, but men. He does not work through organizations, but through men. He does not dwell in buildings, but in men." And that could pretty well sum up the whole message of today. God is so awesome, so unbelievable, that he has developed a plan that involves the most intricate details of our lives. And he has given us a strategy, each and every person in here, a strategy and a plan for our lives. But it was so detailed and so intricate that he didn't leave anything undone. And so the thought that came to my mind this week is God is really a strategist. He knows how to develop a strategy. And that master plan that he laid out for each and every one of us, he laid it out before the earth was ever created. Before he ever spoke it into existence, before he ever created man, before he ever created anything. It includes all of creation. It's that detailed. And Paul wrote about that master plan, and Chip read about it. Paul said he didn't try to impress them with his own abilities and oratory, and he didn't. He didn't try to dazzle anybody. He was not controlled by the Roman government because he was jailed and beaten and imprisoned more than once. He wasn't ruled by religious organizations. No particular denomination or church told him what to do. But Paul said, "We speak with the wisdom of God." So God's putting his master plan into operation that affects all of our lives. And so how do we regulate that plan, and how do we make it work in our individual lives that is so different than how it worked in Jesus' life? And last week I talked about how we oftentimes give Judas the blame for selling Jesus off to the Roman soldiers. But in essence, it was Caiaphas who sentenced Jesus to death. And Judas worked into the hand and the plan of Caiaphas. Caiaphas didn't work into Judas's plan. So if you think about the things and some of the things that Jesus went through while he was here on the earth, some of the things that worked against him, some of the people that worked against him, and we stop and think and we can ask ourselves, does that happen to me too? Remember, he had a group of disciples that didn't understand his mission. They really weren't sure what was going on. Do you think that there are people in your lives that really do not understand what your mission is? A lot of people don't understand God has a plan for their lives. I don't care who they are. Every person that's ever been created and born on this face of the earth, God had a plan for them. Now, a lot of people rejected that. Some worried about who was going to get to sit next to him. Anybody ever sit down in a meeting and think, "Man, I would like to sit next to the boss. I'd like to sit next to the leader." I agree, Butch. I always wanted to get as far away as I could. Back row was good enough for Larry. Some wanted to overthrow the Roman government and the political power of the day. Is that anything any more evident than what we're seeing today? All people want to do is protest rather than get off their lazy butts and go to work. We were given a president. You don't have to like him. But you don't have to spend all your time criticizing what he does. But that's kind of what Jesus did. They criticized him for what he did. He had a guy on his board that was stealing money. Plotted to kill him. Then the high priest and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were out to kill him also. In fact, they were out to kill every religious leader that they could. Jesus was controversial, and I will challenge you that if you're controversial, people will dislike you. I have vowed, and I said this Thursday night, I will not make another political comment on Facebook. I am sick and tired of reading that garbage. And it has to do with whatever spin you want to put on anything. In fact, I may do like Cindy and just get off of it other than for church needs. Because I don't have time for that stuff. But Jesus was put on a hit list from hell. Remember that? Everybody was out to get him. Satan was out to get him. Pharisees, Sadducees, all religious leaders were out to get him. He was healing people, turning water into wine, raising the dead, blessing people, forgiving prostitutes, and people wanted to kill him. I think he was under a great deal of pressure. Just almost seems that way. But the bad news is that didn't work. For them, that was good news. The bad news for Jesus is that he didn't really avoid any of that. He didn't really get delivered from that. And I said Thursday night, and I took it from my notes today, and we talked about a little bit about mentioning this. And I mentioned it before, but we all have a destiny. As long as we're on this earth, we have a plan to fulfill. And when God is done with us, God will take us. But there are a lot of people that have not fulfilled and will die and never fulfill their destiny. A lot of people don't know what it is. I can tell you at the end of the service how to find it. God's plans that they were so involved, they were so perfect, they were so exact that they even involved his enemies as well as our enemies. And the circumstances around his life that moved Jesus toward his destiny could be some of the same circumstances in our lives that moves us toward our destiny. One of the things about God's plan and destiny for your life is he included those plots and plans against you and yet gave us a way out and gave us a way to be free. And I was looking this week and I thought, man, you know, the same thing happened to Joseph. Joseph was sold into slavery. He had a destiny that was delayed, maybe. But he was sold into slavery by his brothers, treated horribly by those that should have loved him, threw him in a pit, treated horribly by those that had rescued him. But he fulfilled his destiny in Egypt. He could have done it before he ever ended up there. But his destiny was to bless the brothers that sold him into slavery. And so after he had fulfilled his destiny and after he had fulfilled his plan, Joseph said to those brothers, he said, "You planned something bad for me, but God produced something good from it. Save the lives of many people, just as he's doing today." And that's one of the favorite verses that I keep in mind often. Because when I get criticism, I think about that. Not necessarily that it was something bad planned for me, but God's going to make good out of the worst things in our lives. And I've often quoted Romans 8:28. He says, "Here we know that God works all things together for good for the ones who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose." This didn't just apply to Peter and John and the disciples. It actually applied to Judas. Because if you look at it this way, when Judas sold Jesus for those 30 pieces of silver, that worked for the good of the Roman Empire. And it worked for the good of the Jewish people, his only people, because they were able to identify who Jesus was. Now, you can't tell me that anybody that Judas sold Jesus to didn't know who Jesus was. He didn't just take the money to identify him. We all, bear with me, need a Judas in our lives that keeps us working toward that plan and keeps us getting closer to what our destiny is. We all need a high priest in our lives that's sabotaging our lives and trying to undermine what we do, because, as I said last week, when we are in the valley, when we are in the deepest spot in our life, when we are the most troubled and needing the most help, that's when God comes on the scene, when we are in our lowest. And that's when he will provide assurance and provide blessing for us. We all need them because they become part of our destiny. God can even take our enemies and make good out of them. Because if you read verse 29 says that this good is that we become more in the image of God. I get real upset with people that take things out of context. You take one verse out of Scripture and make it say what you want it to say, but you got to look at the context that's there. There is not good in everything. For the Christian, it was not good that Judas turned over Jesus. But as a result of that turning him over, it brought us good. What's happened to our master plan? What's occurred here? We are created, we're shaped, we're molded, and we're brought into where we are today because of what God has done. Some people are out there just living with their whole purpose in life is to make your life difficult. You might not believe that, but they're out there. And there are people out there that would just as soon see you destroyed as blessed. That's one of the things, and it's one of the message series after next week through Lent. It's going to be a little bit different. I'm not going to do a Lenten series. I'm going to do a series on the blessings of God and what they stand for. But there's some people who are difficult to make your life difficult. I remember just before I retired, there was a wannabe manager that just made everybody's life miserable. Fortunately, I could get out. God uses their attitude to showcase us, sometimes to position us to where we look less than they do because it's all about them and it's all about their future. He uses criticism to keep us from settling into mediocrity and make us a little uncomfortable. He uses malice to bring our best out because other people's hate makes us stronger. God's plans supersede anything that any man could ever conceive, could ever come up with. If Jesus hadn't have been crucified, we would have still being forgiven through the blood of goats and sheep on the altar. Something he did was so powerful that it made everything different. It makes us different. We're not free in Christ because we sing worship songs. We're not free in Christ because we quit smoking or we quit doing this or we quit watching pornography or we quit doing that. We're not Christians and we're not followers of Jesus because of that. You know, we're really not free because we come here every Sunday. Although it's good to see you. But that's not the reason that we're free. We're not free because we carry around a Bible all the time and let people know who we are. We need to understand what being free really is, because we're free because of his death and his resurrection. The Old Testament teaches a lot about the grace of the New Testament. In the Old Testament, God teaches us that the high priest goes in every year on the Day of Atonement for forgiveness of the people of Israel. The Holy Spirit gives us direction on what Jesus will do to provide for our deliverance. I think you could probably say the priest's actions in the Old Testament were maybe a dress rehearsal for what Jesus Christ did. What was practiced in the Old Testament is a picture of what Jesus did. What we saw there was a priest going into a tent, a priest going into where the Holy of Holies was. And the Old Testament teaches a lot about that. It teaches about the garment of the priest and the garment that he wore and the robe that he wore. The blue that he wore on that robe stood for God's grace. The white stood for his holiness. The red stood for redemption. And so bear with me for a second, because I want to tie the high priest in the Old Testament into the high priest of the New Testament. But when the priest in the Old Testament went into the outer area before entering the Holy of Holies, he wore this garment. There were bells ringing. And what he would do is he went in, just before he went into the Holy of Holies, he would take off this outer robe, and all he simply had on was a white tunic. No sleeves, no collar, or anything. And that's what he went in to the Holy of Holies with. And he entered in there, sacrificed the animal for the sins of the people of Israel. Well, when he came back out, no one could see him. But they could hear those bells ringing again when he put on the garment, and they knew that that lamb or goat that had been slain and the blood that was thrown on the mercy seat that was represented by the Holy of Holies knew that they had another year of peace to live because God had forgiven their sin. And that's what that whole process was all about. But something happened with the death of Jesus Christ that changed all that. You remember when he was with them and after he had died and went into heaven as our high priest, he told the disciples that while they were eating together, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised him when he said, "This is what you heard from me. John baptized you with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And so we go on and read in Acts chapter 2, and we see that the Bible talks about that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and the Bible says they were all gathered in one room, they were in one accord, they were praying, and they didn't hear bells, but they heard a mighty rushing wind. And that mighty rushing wind told them that Jesus was alive. He wasn't dead. So we have bells in the Old Testament that teaches us about grace. We have a mighty rushing wind in the New Testament that teaches us about salvation. And so what we see is Jesus going where no man had ever gone before when he entered the Holy of Holies in heaven and provided salvation for us. And the Bible says in Acts 2, in verse, let me read 3 and 4. It said, "And they saw what seemed to be an individual, flames of fire lighting on each of them, or sitting on each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them to speak." What Luke is saying there is that Holy Spirit came and sat on each person in that room as a flame of fire as they were gathered in one accord, praying. And so we see the infilling of the Holy Spirit at that time. And so anyway, they heard that wind and they knew Jesus was alive. Jesus, it is the Holy Spirit that says, you cannot touch what I have blessed. According to 2 Thessalonians, the only thing stopping the man of sin right now, and we talked about this in our study on Revelation, being the Antichrist, the only thing that can stop the Antichrist right now is the Holy Spirit that's walking about in our lives. So the Holy Spirit in you. When the Holy Spirit sat down on those believers at Pentecost, He moved them into power and poured His power into believers that they might become witnesses. So in the Old Testament, the priest goes into the Holy of Holies and sacrifices the lamb or the goat for the salvation of people's sins. In the New Testament, Jesus dies on a cross, His blood is shed, and He goes into the Holy of Holies of heaven and comes back and gives us the Holy Spirit. I'm gonna ask you a question. I don't want you to raise your hand, but I'm gonna ask you a question. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? That you sense that you have that power to overcome. Because, folks, that's what it's all about. It's being able to live with people that has a person on your board that's stealing money and ready to sell you. You can't just overcome that stuff that easy. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to close the message. And I'm just going to ask you, if you want to say it under your breath or if you want to speak it out, I don't care. But I want you to pray this prayer with me. And I'm going to pray it, and I'm just going to give you a little bit of time and give you an opportunity to think about it. Dear Jesus, I realize there's a lack in my life. And that lack might be that I don't have the power of the Holy Spirit that you gave to those gathered that day on the day of Pentecost. And so, Lord, I want you to fill me. I want you to fill me and overflow me with the Holy Spirit. I want you to restore the power in my life. I want you to revive me to allow myself to live again in the power and the awesomeness of your Holy Spirit. I want you to refresh me. I want you to give me a newfound excitement, a newfound joy in living in the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. And lastly, Lord, I want you to renew me. Give me a new spirit. Give me a new heart. A heart that is open to you. A heart that is open to doing the ministry that you have called me to do. A heart to find my destiny and fulfill my destiny and not be one of those who die with an unfulfilled life. So, Father, I thank you for that. God wants us to be pure in spirit. He wants to have all of us, and He wants us to allow Him to just work through us in the power that He was given when He died. So let me encourage you to think about that. Let me encourage you to just have an open mind and an open heart every day that God is there to fill you to the brim. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.